There will be an additional springboard installed for Mellon's dive. The triple Lindy.
Is that hard?
That's impossible.
Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about American craft beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm your host this week. My name is Toby. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, and with me, as always, is a couple of guys, starting with
Chris in Dallas, Texas,
and Mike in Boston, Massachusetts.
Hello.
All right, guys. So this week, we're continuing on with our Belgian series. Last week, we did the Belgian Abbey double style. This week, we're continuing on to the Belgian triples, next in line. Now, you guys can jump in at any time with your info on triples, and the information I have on them is the name triple actually stems from part of the brewing process in which brewers use up to three times the amount of malt than a standard Trappist or simple
malty
ale, I guess. And last week we talked about the Trappists and how, you know, you had to be certified as a Trappist brewery, and there's only seven of them in the world, and it has to be overseen by monks and yada, yada, yada. Traditionally, triples are bright to gold in color, which is a shade or two darker than the average Pilsner. They became popular around the 1930s in a reaction to the growing popularity of Pilsners, lagers, and pale ales. So this is kind of Belgium's, you know, take on what was becoming popular, you know, in the early 20th century. The Westmalle Trappisten beer triple, it's the pretty much the quintessential Belgian triple. All others follow in their footsteps when they want to try and do a Belgian triple. Triples being stronger than doubles and quads being stronger than triples.
Yeah.
Am I mm-hmm. right, guys? Does that sound?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not right. sure about the history of the quads, though. We'll try to tackle that next week, but they don't mention it as far as the history goes, or the, you know, from the doubles to the triples, and then they don't really mention quads, so we'll have to do our research for next week.
Oh, okay.
One of the interesting things I found was
I just let out a secret, didn't I?
Like, what the alcohol content difference, like, you would think that it'd be, you know, doubles to triples would, you know, make the alcohol content go way up.
Right.
But it didn't. Like, mine last week was a 7, and mine this week is a 7.8. So it's, I mean, it's more, but it's not, like, crazy.
Yeah. I think it depends on you know, the brewer, too. Because
of course.
Brewer may have a, you know, a 7, 8, and 9, or you know, maybe it takes a, you know, considerable amount more, you know, to make that extra, you know, 0.8 or 1% more.
Cool.
So in our fermentation conversation this week, we are trying Allagash, their triple. Allagash is out of
Maine. I'm not sure what city in Maine.
Portland, Maine. That's right.
Yeah, Portland.
And we'll go on to some hop topics. And in our tasting flight, Chris, what are you trying today?
This week I am doing, I talked a little bit last week about the fact that I'm going to start to get redundant because of New Belgium's...
Start to get redundant?
Well, whatever. New Belgium's, you know, sort of the big Belgian-style brewer in the country, let alone in my area. So this week I'm doing another New Belgium. I am doing their triple.
A New Belgium triple.
Cool. What about you, Mike?
I am doing Stouts Brewery's triple. And Stouts is out of, I don't have my sheet in front of me, but Pennsylvania somewhere. I'll get to that in the next couple segments. But I'm ready to drink some Allagash.
And out west, I'm trying Anderson Valley Brewing Company's Brother David's Triple. And they also have a there's also Brother David's double also. So this is in the Brother David series.
So you're on
Belgian style.
You're on the brother redundancy.
I know. I had brother Thelonious last week.
Well, let's drink some beer, brothers.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, this is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
And welcome to the fermentation, a conversation.
Oh, Ian, thank you.
Yeah.
Today, episode 18, Belgian triples. We are trying the Allagash triple. Me and Mike are drinking one of them. Chris is drinking another. And if it wasn't for Mike, I wouldn't be drinking one at all.
So special delivery this week.
Yeah. Let everybody know you cannot find Allagash in the state of Nevada. You can find them in California, and I'm pretty sure in Oregon and Washington.
But everywhere else. Reason,
yeah. They decided
everywhere to else.
Hop right over Nevada and go, hop, get it?
Wah, wah.
So, that really surprises me because I imagine Nevada is probably having some of the laxest.
Yes, as far as distribution of anything.
Yeah.
It seems like it'd be really easy to get stuff into
prostitutes, beer. What's the difference?
Yeah. I mean, prostitution is legal in Nevada. I'd imagine that it's pretty easy to get beer there.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know if it's just they're kind of behind and they're catching up to this new kind of trend with craft beer or something, because it's starting to grow, especially here in Nevada. I know I did that story a few shows ago about the Tenaya Creek and how they're just now starting to bottle and stuff like that. And there's a few other places here in Las Vegas that actually do bottle. But as far as getting stuff here, I've noticed many breweries, they just go right past Nevada. I don't know what that is. So, hey, distributors and brewing companies out there, what's up? We people of Nevada would like some tasty beers. Like Allagash. Jeez. Okay, so speaking of Allagash. Allagash Brewing Company, they're from Portland, Maine. They've been brewing since 1995. Their website is www.allagash.com. That's A-L-L-A-G-A-S-H. The style is a Belgian triple. It's an ABV of 9%. I have no IBUs. I'm sure there are some there. You should sell this at 45 to 50 and serve it at the same temperature. That's what Beer Advocate says. I'm not sure what Allagash says on that. You could
for
find
what? For serving?
Yeah.
50 to 60.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Slightly warmer than your refrigerator. Yeah. These are available in 12-ounce bottles and the 750 milliliter, which, Chris, you're drinking the 750 today, and Mike and I are trying the 12-ounce
bottle. Yeah.
So Chris has got a cork, and we've got caps. The ingredients. Now, this was another beer or brewing company that's not really revealing much as far as their ingredients in their beer. But as much as I get out of it, it's probably very traditional Belgian yeast, of course. And then some clones I found were doing Pilsner malts, Tettnang, and Hallertau hops. And that's about all I could find. An interesting note, New England's original Belgian-style brewery is Allagash. And their flagship beer would probably be the Allagash White, I'd say. You guys can go for it.
It seemed Allagash White's pretty popular out here.
Yeah, you guys would know better than me since I can't find him anywhere.
I think the triple is actually probably a pretty popular style for them as well.
Yeah. The Rate Beer gave this one a 98 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users rated this an A- as well as the Ahlstrom Brothers. So I'm using my Chimay glass again this week. It's the Goblet or Chalice. You guys using the same?
I am using a wine glass.
I actually went out and bought a goblet yesterday, and it's like really big.
Well, you have a bigger bottle, so it suits it.
There you go.
It suits it this week.
And it fit almost the whole bottle in it. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit.
So speaking of bigger bottles, last week we talked about possibly there might be a little bit of difference in the big bottles versus the smaller bottles, bottle conditioning, that sort of thing. Chris, you mentioned something like that last week.
Yeah, we're debating whether it was going to be complex or not.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking on Allagash's website just a second ago, and they list them just as being the Allagash triple available in 12-ounce or 750 milliliters, and they don't claim to be there to be any difference.
Right.
So
we couldn't find any, at least. Anything written as far as the...
Well, so on my pour, I have about a finger of that kind of root beer float head.
You know, I got about a half a finger of foamy white head that's quickly dissipated.
Yeah, mine's just kind of a thin film. Although there's some decent lacing, it's that thin film on the top.
Yeah, I'm looking at your guys's, and your guys's, I mean, mine...
Yeah, yours is hanging
quite
out.
Quite a bit more head that isn't really going anywhere.
This looks like a...
I don't know if there's any yeast on the bottom of this bottle. It doesn't actually say whether it's bottle conditioned or not.
Mine has it in the bottle.
Yeah.
So
that might be the difference. I don't know.
Looks like a Hefeweizen, you know, looking at the color and the cloudiness.
A little darker. It's definitely very cloudy.
A little more orange.
Yeah, orange-ish, but mine's still pretty yellow, but it's kind of bordering towards orange, I guess. Really good lacing, though.
It actually almost smells sort of Hefeweizen-y.
Yeah.
Kind of the banana and bubblegum scents in there.
Yep.
And there's that little bit of kind of root beer in the back, a little kind of spicy.
Yeah, a little peppery. Beer. Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought when I smelled it was... Was it Hefeweizen? Like a Francis Connor or something, you know, real thick, kind of yeasty, wheaty.
It was like just a tiny hint of clove as this is kind of warming up in my hand here. And I've already taken a couple sips, so.
Of course you have.
Taste a little bit of, you guys were talking so much I had to drink. I'm getting a little bubblegum.
God forbid we talk on a podcast. Mm.
Jeez.
All right, you guys talk. I'll drink. It makes for good radio. Or podcast. Mm. I don't even know what you call that. Interweb audio commentary.
It's got a very good mouthfeel.
Yes. It's nice and carbonated and full mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Very tasty.
The alcohol,
real spicy,
isn't as overwhelming as I thought it was going to be.
No, not at all. It's actually not nearly as, and I was expecting it to be a lot sweeter.
Right.
Yeah.
Me too.
Me too. Because a lot of triples, you get that. You think vanilla, the bubble gum and the banana.
You expect sort of a thick syrupy sweet, and it's not. It's more of a clean sweetness, like.
Which is
maybe orange or mixed with the peppery.
I get lots of pepper.
It's like a peppery alcohol.
It's real spicy. That's crazy. I've never had a beer that's this spicy before.
Yeah, it is a good. There's a lot of spice notes in it. It's a very
nice. But I'm still getting those sweetness around the edges that sort of like that banana. I think tasting a lot of banana in there.
It doesn't finish sweet either. It finishes kind of fairly dry. It's pretty well balanced.
Yeah.
You figure with something like, 9% alcohol, it's usually, once you get up to that point, it starts to get kind of sweet as opposed to, they're trying to balance out that alcohol with the sweetness. And this doesn't seem to have that.
No.
I read somewhere that when you pour this, you should you shouldn't do too much of an aggressive pour is what I read, because you don't want to disrupt, especially for if it's bottle conditioned, I guess, because you don't want to disrupt too much of the yeast that has settled at the bottom, which is kind of different.
You don't want
to
make the yeast angry. You wouldn't like them when they're angry.
and you know, opposite of a Hefeweizen or something, where I've heard that you leave a little bit at the bottom, you swirl it up, and you pour it in your glass because you want that in there.
Yeah.
This is just somewhere I read, a website that had to do with Belgian. I don't know if it was true.
Plus, I save it to spoon feed my son anyway, like we talked about last week. So. Would you guys pair this with anything?
Let me think about that for a second.
Yeah, if I'd want, you know, this would taste really good with a good steak.
Mm-hmm.
And those pepper notes, I think, would blend themselves really good to a nice ribeye grilled with a fair amount of seasoning on it. I think that'd pair really well with this.
I'm kind of going the opposite. I picked grilled tilapia with like some pineapple salsa. I think a grilled fish would go good and really complement kind of the complexity of this, because, you know, it's a sweet fish and you get some kind of complex flavors and then they all kind of play off each other.
I'm kind of with you, Mike. I'm going with the seafood side, although I'm saying more of shrimp. Maybe kind of a buttery shrimp pasta, maybe.
Yeah,
Gina makes this really good shrimp pasta. It's good, you know.
Almost like a scampi kind of thing.
Parmesan. Yeah. No red sauce or anything. More of like a Parmesan, garlic.
Yeah.
Peppery, buttery.
Yeah, that's shrimp. Cream sauce. Sounds good. It's very nice. Yeah.
So, Allagash.
Triple.
Very nice.
Beer news from across the country. This is Hop Topics.
And this is the Hop Topics section where we talk about beer news. First up, Chris in Dallas, Texas.
Alrighty. So my Hop Topic for this week comes from St. Louis, Missouri, from stltoday.com, the number one St. Louis website.
Wow.
Apparently. So this has to do with Boulevard Brewing Company and that they are going to start making
beer?
Wine.
Wine.
Wow.
Wine.
Whoa. Wine, huh?
Yeah, which I thought was really interesting. I guess the original reasoning behind it was Boulevard sort of has this big brewery location in downtown St. Louis, where they have like a 75,000 square foot brewing and packaging facility. And on top of that, there's a 3,000 square foot event space that they had initially intended to use as they could rent it out for wedding receptions, company events, reunions, that sort of thing.
A banquet hall.
And sell their beer. Well, the problem is in Missouri, the brewers can't sell directly to the public. So
I wonder why.
So
who else is in St. Louis?
Yeah, exactly. So Boulevard, you know, got together with their lawyers and tried to figure out a way that they could.
Let's see, their lawyers and their lawyers.
Get around this. No, but this is really interesting in what Boulevard did.
Okay.
So what they did is they found out that if you're a winery, you can sell any alcohol that you want. So what they did is they went and they bought a bunch of grapes and a bunch of grape juice.
Yay, Boulevard! I'm so proud!
California.
Sticking it to the man.
Imported it and started making wine.
That's awesome.
About 3 years ago. So now that they make wine, they're able to sell any alcoholic beverages on their premises.
Awesome.
So then they started. And then that blossomed into the owner of Boulevard. He actually has how many acres is it?
So we go from the king of beers to the king of loopholes. Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, the owner of Boulevard has a big plot of land in Missouri where he ended up making a vineyard. And this year they are actually making the wine from those grapes. So this will be the first year that they actually make wine that's 100% Missourian. I'm assuming that's how you say it.
Barley wines don't count, I guess.
So, no.
Damn.
I thought that was really interesting. It was an interesting, you know, loophole that they used to be able to sell their beers that sort of blossomed into this burgeoning winemaking operation.
That's great. I'm so happy.
I wonder how good the wine's going to be. Or if they're just like, eh.
No, I mean,
they use it to feed the pigs like in the farm like next door.
He's going to be on the shelf next to the Boone's farm.
Nice.
No, I mean, he admits that it's, you know, more of just a hobby type thing.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not exactly a cheap hobby, but
that's true. Neither is this, by the way. I just want to mention.
Right, but you know,
podcasting about most beer is breweries, no cheap feat.
No. You know, most breweries start out the same way. I mean, they start out as hobbies.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, from the home brewer to the
thinking, hey, I might be able to make some money off of this. So,
like the brewery pub type places, and a lot of those brewery / restaurants turn into, you know, breweries.
Yep. Very That's my nice. Hop topic.
Good hop topic, sir. My.
Thank you, Chris.
My hop thank topic. My hop topic comes from Newsday.com/travel. You can find this article. It's a Hudson Valley Brewery Trail. I don't know if you guys remember, but a few episodes back, I talked about the Maine Beer Trail and them doing kind of these touristy type things where you can visit different breweries and try different beers in Maine. Well, this New York has followed suit. So the I'll read just
pay attention,
a little.
Texas.
What's that? Yeah, pay attention.
Pay attention, Texas. Yeah.
So it says handcrafted beers have slowly been capturing the imaginations and palates of Americans. Along the way, the Hudson Valley has become awash in places to sample brews with their own regional flavor. The state has created the Empire State Brewery Trails to help aficionados find the path to a good draft. And if you want to find this, you can go to iloveny.com/breweritrails. And it's a pretty good little article, and we'll also tell you the breweries. If you go to that website, you'll be able to tell the breweries are actually on the trail. And if you want to read the article, it's www.newsday.com/travel. Thank you.
Sweet.
It's pretty cool. I'd like to see brewery trails in more places.
Like Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could easily do one here in Las Vegas.
Yeah. It'd be a good one. Organize.
So for my hop topic, I have chosen Rogue Ales. They released their first wet hop beer in bottles. It's called the Chateau Rogue, even though they spell Chateau kind of funny, Chateau. Chateau.
Like toe? Like pinky toe?
As of September... like your pinky toe. As of September 5th, it's scheduled to be released in less than 2 weeks, according to Jim Klein, who's the general manager and VP. Chateau Rogue is the first bottled beer to come out of the hop harvesting at Rogue Farms Independence, which of all the Rogue beers I've had and we've done here on the show, I didn't know that they had their own hop farms. They have about 22 acres.
Well, I think it's a relatively
Independence, Oregon,
new thing. Like, I think they just started. Yeah, they first used the wet hop from their last year. But apparently it was only kegged or whatever. They hadn't started bottling it yet. So it's a relatively new thing.
But now, and I think it's 22 acres that they have, and they have about four or five different hop varieties on the farm. The 2010 Chateau Rogue products will use Rogue Microfarms Independence, Revolution, Liberty, Freedom, Newport, Rebel, and Alluvial hops from the Wigrich Appellation and Dare, Risk, and Dream malts from the Tyg Valley Appellation. Chateau products will include Pinot Envy Ale, Dertoir Ale, Single Malt Ale, and Orgasmic Ale, which is O-R-E, Gasmic Ale.
Oh, so they're constantly a
That's interesting.
Play
so this,
on words
this
kind of brewery.
Yeah, but this Chateau Rogue isn't... It's not necessarily the style. It's not... Like
a wet hop ale. It sounds like it's going to be a line of ales.
Hmm.
Like yeah, that's the, what it sounds
Pinot
like.
Pinot Envy and Pinot
right.
Envy.
Yeah.
I just got that. That's sad that I just got that.
So look for the Chateau Rogue series in bottles now, the wet hop ale. And if you're not familiar with wet hopping, it's basically using the hops before they have time to dry out. So picking and then brewing before they dry. So, you know, like the Sierra Nevada does their wet hop harvest every year. And then they also did their Southern Hemisphere harvest, which they is also considered a wet hop.
Which really contributes to more of a sweetness in the hop. Like you get a lot more of the
sweet and fresh.
You get a lot more of the hop oil, so you get a lot more sweetness.
Mm. We went to a wet hop festival.
Yes, indeed.
At O'Brien's in San Diego, and it was fantastic.
Those are some good festivals.
Is it?
Did you catch any beads?
No, it wasn't that kind of festival.
What?
I don't know. Whatever.
Should we drink some more beer?
So I think that's it for our...
Let's drink some more beer.
All right.
Let's drink some more beer.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Thanks. So for my tasting flight this week, I am drinking another New Belgium beer that guy explained before.
We are not sponsored by New Belgium.
Although maybe we should be. So if anybody from New Belgium is
Chris, are you sponsored?
Feel free to send us some money.
Beer.
There's a donate button.
1/3 of the Beer Coasters podcast is sponsored by New Belgium Brewery from Fort Collins, Colorado.
And that would be where the brewery is from. The website is www.newbelgium.com. The style, of course, is a triple. The ABV for this brew is a 7.8%. The ingredients, it's brewed with 6 different malts and an authentic Belgian yeast strain. The rate beer rating of 93 out of 100. Beer Advocate users gave it a B+. And the Ahlstrom brothers gave it an A-.
Mm.
And with that, I'm going to crack it open.
Sweet.
Now, did you find the IBUs on this or no?
No.
I don't know if I...
No, I couldn't find them.
Well, I guess typically in triples, they run anywhere from... Because I know I couldn't find any on mine. Mike, I don't know if you found any IBUs on yours, but...
I did, which I normally I don't, but this one I actually found, so I will let you know.
They normally run anywhere from 25 to 38, I guess, is the standard. Whatever.
So I'm pouring it. It's a really clear golden color. I don't know if you guys can see that or not, but it's much, much clearer than the, what was our fermentation? Allagash. Almost no head at all. Even on the pour, there was almost nothing, and it's dissipating pretty quickly. I mean, it's a really light golden color.
Looks nice.
On the aroma, it's
like a pale ale.
On the aroma, it's definitely noticeable that they're using a Belgian yeast strain, and I think just like the Allagash, it's definitely a Hefeweizen strain because I'm getting lots and lots of banana. Banana.
You could say totally.
Totally.
You say totally every time.
Yeah.
For sure.
This doesn't sound too Texan to me.
Yeah. I'm getting lots of banana, y'all. And
all right, are you fixing to take a sip?
I'm fixing to take a sip. Good mouthfeel. Fairly medium bodied. Just the right amount of carbonation.
Just the right amount. Like the three. This is supposed to be like three sirens on the label.
Yes.
It's a very nice.
I'm not getting as much banana flavor as I was in the scent. It's still there, but not quite as much as it is in the aroma. It's really drinkable for a for a triple, like way more so than the Allagash was. I'm kind of surprised by how drinkable it is. The alcohol isn't hitting nearly as hard.
It was a lower.
Yeah, it's a 7.8. Yeah, the Allagash was a 9. Yeah.
See, now I thought that the Allagash was quite drinkable, and I couldn't really tell much.
I think they did a good job of balancing that out. Because I've had some triples where it tastes much more like alcohol, and it's almost a syrupy sweet with alcohol.
Right.
And we haven't, so far, none of these triples have
been. Neither one. This one or the Allagash. Very light and refreshing fruit flavors. The banana, a little bit of pear, maybe. Yeah, it's good though. I like it. Let's see, if I was going to pair this with something.
Not what you had for dinner. Come on, think of something else.
No, I just had baked potatoes for dinner. So, let's see.
With bacon?
No, we forgot to put the bacon in the oven. So,
could have been your favorite part of the meal.
And then I would have known what to pair this with. I think like an apple tart would be good with this.
Ooh.
Because it's got a little bit of that tart sourness. So
a la mode.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, apple tart. And that's it for me.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Okay. East side. Sorry.
All right, this week I'm going to try a triple as well. Coincidence?
That's a great idea.
That's awesome.
We should try to do that more often. Like, yeah, maybe I'll coordinate to do all the same kind of style. That'd be a good idea.
We should do maybe like a different style each show or something like that.
Yeah, and then we could all buy, and then maybe we could drink one that we all try, and then each one of us do a different one. And
that's brilliant. Yeah.
That's good. That sounds like a show. That sounds like a show, man. Oh, we got a show.
All right, so this week I'm going to try Stouts. I don't know how to really pronounce it correctly. It's their triple, and that's from Stouts Brewery out of Adamstown, Pennsylvania.
How do you say it?
And what's that?
Stouts.
And their website is stoutsbeer.com. S-T-O-U-D-S. Sorry, I messed that up. stoutsbeer.com. The ABV on this beer is 9%. The IBUs, I found them, are 37.
Which is pretty high. Hard when they put it on the website.
Yes, it's true. That's it. My secret's out. I got all my information off the website. Rate Beer rates this
such a cheater.
87, I know. Rate Beer rates this an 87 out of 100. Beer Advocate users rate this a B, and the Ahlstrom Brothers rate this a B minus. For malts on this beer, they use a 2-row and a wheat. For hops, they use Pearl and Warrior for bittering, and Hallertau and Saaz for aroma. For the yeast, it just says they use a Belgian yeast strain. I wanted to mention on the website, they have like the history of the family, how they go from like, you know, a restaurant, and how they developed like an antique mall. And it's a good little piece of history about the brewery and the family. So check it out at stoutsbeer.com. I'm going to open it up.
Drop the cap.
At least it was just the cap that hit the floor this time.
Yeah. Instead of the fountain, no beer like last time. It was ridiculous. All right. So I get the same, very similar color to what Chris was getting, except mine's a little cloudier, but I think it's because of the temperature right now. It's pretty cold. This was like fresh out of the fridge. It should have spent a little time warming up, but I didn't really get a chance to do that. So it's pretty
gold, like a really light gold color. I get very little head, seems to be dissipating pretty quickly. The lacing is okay, not bad. Some spicy candy aromas and some bubblegum for sure. Bubblegummy.
Got that banana in there.
It's kind of masked by the bubblegum. Maybe a little banana. I'm going to take a sip.
Sweet.
It's like yeast and apples.
Like an apple bread.
A little apple bready, but yeah, it's very, very malty apple. I can start to smell a little bit of clove now.
Lively at all?
It's got a medium mouthfeel. It's the carbonation levels, like, it's pretty much the same as what the Allagash was. The alcohol is a little more apparent in this one, but I don't get that sweet syrupy ness in, like some of the triples I've had before. It's not that bitter, even though the IBUs seem pretty high for a triple. It finishes dry, but it's not overly bitter. It's good. You know, the some of the flavors are starting to bounce off the tongue a little bit. It's very candy-ish. It's a very malty candy. Like I said, a little bit of apple. Not really getting the banana.
A little too sweet?
No, it's not. No, it's not. Because I think there's a bitterness that is kind of balanced. Like, it's not a syrupy sweet. Like, I'm getting the flavors without it being sicky sweet.
Cool.
If I were going to pair this with anything, in lieu of all the Renaissance festivals coming up here lately, I'd say a big old turkey leg. That'd be perfect. Like a
Mike, you've been attending Renaissance festivals?
No, but there's quite a few around.
Not me.
I may hit one or two before the season's out. You never know.
There was a flyer on my car, and
they've been advertising quite a bit lately. Mm. Big old turkey leg would be good with this. I can picture that, walking around having a triple and a turkey leg.
Only if they served triples at Disneyland, then it would be perfect. with the turkey leg.
Crazy Dave's at Disneyland right now.
Oh, yeah.
Very jealous. Oh, that's right.
Ooh. Awesome. Toby, you ready?
That's it. You ready to drink some beer, yep. Toby? I'm going to keep sipping on this.
Yeah.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Welcome, beer friends and family. I'm Toby. I'm out in Las Vegas, Nevada. And for my tasting flight today, I am tasting Brother David's Triple from Anderson Valley Brewing Company. That's Anderson Valley Brewing Company out of Boonville, California.
Boonville. Their website. This is my other brother David.
Sorry. I haven't heard that in a long time. Their website is www.avbc.com.
That'd be funny. That's Brother Daryl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was. Brother Daryl. Not David. Come on, man.
I know.
The difference between Samuel Adams.
I felt
Adams
it needed to be said. Okay, let's move on.
All right,
I'm keeping with the theme of brothers. So last week I had Brother Thelonious. Today I'm doing Brother David. Anyway, they've been brewing. Anderson Valley Brewing Company, that is, has been brewing since 1987. The style I'm drinking is a Belgian triple, ABV of 10%, IBUs of I don't know. Cellaring at 45 to 50, serving
Christ,
at 45 to 50.
It's crazy.
You can find these in the 22-ounce bombers and on draft. I was hoping that mine was corked. For some reason, I thought mine was corked, and you guys both had caps, and I was like, hey, hey, mine's corked, but it's not. It's capped.
I said, hey, hey.
I was I was running to the fridge. My flippity floppities were running to the fridge, and I was going, ooh, I got a cork. And then I pulled it out, and I was like, oh, whatever. So the ingredients in this one, they use substantial additions of candy sugar in the kettle.
Candy.
They use classic European hop varieties. Mm. So very vague.
Vague.
It's another one of those brewing companies. Doesn't like to tell us what they're using. An interesting note, in 2000, Anderson Valley opened a new Bavarian-style brew house. It's also in Boonville, California. It has 185-barrel copper kettles, and they were brought in.
Thanks for the 9-year-old news.
Hey, come on. It was an interesting note of Anderson Valley Brewing
Interesting
Company.
Notes.
Anderson Valley's flagship beers would most likely be the Boont Amber and the Hop Otten IPA. Rate Beer gave this a 75 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users gave it a B-, and the Ulster Brothers have not tried this one.
I knew we'd get at least one in there.
I am using...
it's the only one this week that they haven't tried.
I'm using the goblet, the Chimay glass, to pour into. Great golden color.
Great golden color!
I don't know if you can hear that, but it's very fizzy, quickly dissipating, almost non-existent head. Clear, fairly clear, a little cloudy, but a great orangish golden color.
Orangey.
Nice golden. Little bit of orange carbonation floating up in the middle there. Very citrusy aroma. Kind of orangey. Yeah, it's like a caramel orange.
What about the alcohol? Can you get that a lot of that like right away or?
No, I don't. Oh. I don't smell. It's very fruity smelling, kind of light fruity. A little bit of a kind of an earthy. I don't know. I kind of I'm thinking horse blanket, kind of like that barnhouse, kind of earthy hay almost, maybe a straw
like
kind of
you
smell.
You know how I like the earthy, dirty beers.
But I don't smell any alcohol.
My
yeah, kind of
dirty.
Kind of peaches
my
too.
Beer's
a little
dirty.
Bit peachy. I'm taking a sip.
I like the way you sip.
Dirty. Okay.
Definitely a Belgian. Very, ooh, yeah.
It's a good thing.
Definitely Belgian.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It has that very yeasty, fruity, spicy Belgian-ness flavor to it. Now, I get a lot of the alcohol now. It's you can feel it warming down. Yeah, a little bit of bananas in there.
Why is Chris so hung up on bananas?
Because mine was really, really like banana, and the Allagash had quite a bit of banana in it too. And those Belgian yeast strains tend to bring out a lot of those.
Well, it's funny that you say because in mine right now, because of it's got a chance to warm up. I'm getting like a ripe banana smell, like a really ripe banana.
Yeah, I'm burping. There's banana coming up big time. It's very oily too. Very oily mouthfeel. Lively, oily, kind of thick in the middle of the tongue. Big, yeah, bananas, and you can feel that alcohol going down. This is pretty tasty. It's a sipping beer,
A lot of Anderson Valley beers I find is very buttery. There's something about them that's a very smooth,
buttery
beer.
Right on. That's it, dude. Buttery. That's a good one. It's totally, now that you say that, totally buttery.
Really like
buttery banana. So to pair this with something, I would like to bring out the banana even more with some, what do you call that? Those kind of caramelized bananas.
Bananas Fosters.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Bananas Fosters.
Foster. And a triple.
With some French bean
fantastic.
Vanilla ice cream.
That does sound really good, actually. Yeah.
That's what I'm going with. Because I can totally picture the kind of caramelized brown sugar, cinnamon, maybe not cinnamon, but yeah, brown sugar kind of bananas. Yeah, totally. Yep. That's Brother David's Triple, Abbey Style Ale from Anderson Valley Brewing Company.
Beer Coaster Mike says, doing a podcast on beer, and one of the guys just left to get syringes for his cat.
It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet, tweet. Tweet of the week, yeah.
Time for some backwash. Let's check the Beer Coaster's email and hotline.
We've got a nice tidbit of backwash this evening, or today.
Backwash?
Chris, you had an anonymous
Warsh.
Backwash.
We did. We had an anonymous Jane Doe backwash that I'm just going to run through real quick. It says, guys, as I recover from my hangover this morning / afternoon, I'm listening to you guys at home. We really enjoy hearing you guys. I have one suggestion. You may want to expand your descriptive words, like instead of really, really, say extremely good.
Yes. We have to work.
Other than that, just keep up the great work. Hopefully we see each other soon. Take it to the top. Jane Doe.
Take it to the top.
Sweet.
Nice.
Thank you.
That was very nice.
Last call!
We'd like to thank everybody for sticking around for the last call here on the Beer Coasters podcast. So,
don't forget to tip your waiters,
Chris, and waiters. Chris, what you got for your pint ratings?
Take care of your bartenders.
For my pint ratings this week, I am going to give the Allagash Triple 4.5 pints.
Nice.
Out of 5. Really liked it. It was a really good example of the style. Just lots of banana and tasty notes. Really enjoyed it. For the New Belgium Triple, I am giving it a 4.5 as well. I really liked them both. They were about the same as far as... I did think that the New Belgium was slightly more drinkable than the Allagash was, but both of them were excellent examples of the style. So,
cool.
4.5. 4.5.
Well, I would say for me with the Allagash, I'm going to give it a 4. It's a really good triple. I think it's a good just kind of textbook triple, I guess, in a sense. It's not my favorite triple, but it's definitely a damn good triple. And on the the Stouts triple, I'm going to give it a 4 as well. I was surprised that I liked it as much, if not maybe even a little better. But the flavors that I liked better were not necessarily within the realm of you know what a triple I guess should be. But you know, I gave them both 4s for different reasons. I did enjoy both, and it was nice to have a little bit different flavors on each one.
Yeah,
that's my pint rating.
You know, I really
for this week
dug that Allagash triple. I really liked it. I was very impressed. I don't know if I've ever had a triple before we did this show. To me, the Allagash was a spicy Hefeweizen is what first comes to mind. It nice, had great spicy, peppery notes to it, and yet very, you know, yeasty, reminiscent of a Hefeweizen. I love Hefeweizens, and so this one really hit it off with me. So I'm going to go with a 4.5. For the Allagash Triple, very drinkable. I, you know, we only had them in the 12-ounce bottles, so I could take a couple of those, you know, easily. With the Brother David's triple from Anderson Valley, I'm gonna go with I'm gonna say 3.5. It's to me very Belgian. I know last week I mentioned how Belgian is not one of my favorite styles. I do like them. I appreciate their complexity and everything, but this one very complex, very fruity, good. But I'd say it's a good beer, good triple. So 3.5. And if you guys have any individual shout-outs you'd like to throw out there, do so now.
All right. I did want to mention one thing, and it's possibly something that I'm going to be involved with as well. I'm not quite sure yet. I haven't made my final decision, but Beer Advocate invited me to the MSPCA Ooh. Walk for Animals. And if you check out the Beer Advocate website, and it's beeradvocate.com/events/calendar, and you can see, I think it's like September 23rd. It's basically a walk for animals, and you can walk, you know, for Beer Advocate. For any of you members of Beer Advocate, can walk for them. You could also donate to them as well and get your company name. If any companies donate like $150, they can actually get their company name on the t-shirt that they'll be giving out for the walk. So check them
I'll
out.
I'll be sending you a check. I wanted to say That's thanks again to, I know it's been a couple weeks, but I wanted to thank Crazy Dave, Charlie, and Mr. Summers for all their help that they did with the Stone 13th anniversary celebration with their recordings, and everything came out awesome. I just want to say thanks again, guys. You did a great job. They are definitely our men in the field yes. for the beer coasters.
Yes.
Or our drinkers in the field, I guess.
Yes, we
very grateful.
Thank you, guys.
And also check out AVBC.com. That's Anderson Valley Brewing Company's website for their other great tasty beers. And you can also check out the AllagashBrewing.com. Do I have that correct?
I believe it is Allagash.com.
Allagash.com.
Allagash.
Seemed to be a pretty good hit with us today with their triple, so... look into some Allagash. Yeah. And hey, guys, in Allagash, can we get some out here in Nevada? I don't want Mike to send me Allagash every time we.
I'm gonna go up there and I'll give him a little talking to next time.
Hey, you're going to California. You might as well go to. You might as well stop in Vegas and drop off some beer. All right, thanks.
Yeah, gamble a little and give him some beer. Come on.
What about you, Chris? You got any?
Yeah, you can check out New Belgium Brewing at www.newbelgium.com.
Cool. Sweet. Hey, and you know what? You can also follow us on Twitter. We are Beer Coasters Pod on Twitter. And we're also on Facebook. Search for Beer Coasters Podcast. Become a fan of the Beer Coasters Podcast. It's cool. It's what all the cool kids are doing. We also have individual emails. You can email me. I'm Toby at beercoasterspodcast.com.
Chris at beercoasterspodcast.com.
And Mike at beercoasterspodcast.com.
You can also email us backwash to backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. Or you can leave us audio backwash. Two ways to do that. There's either a link on the bottom of the webpage where you can click on it and input your phone number and your name, and it'll call you and then connect you with the voicemail. Or you can dial it directly at 972-914-8502. And you can also post comments directly on the website. Right underneath the
cool.
the current show, there's a post your comment link, and you can post it there.
And if you're wondering what that website is www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also subscribe in iTunes if you search for Beer Coasters. We're there. We're in the iTunes store. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You can check the website on Monday for the next time on Beer Coasters and see what we're going to try for next week. Grab some beer and drink with us.
And speaking of that, this was our second episode in our trilogy of Belgian beers. So we're focusing, you know, last week we did the doubles, this week we did the triples, so next week we're doing quads, so it's going in order, the quadruples. next week. So check it out. Episode 3 of the Belgian series. And don't forget to tell your friends. And tell your friends' friends. And tell your friends' mama. And tell your friends' mama's friends. And we'd like to thank everybody for listening.
Support your local brewery. Drink local. Don't drink and drive.
And for comments, suggestions, your favorite beer, your favorite bar, let us know. We want to know this stuff. I want to do some sort of a spotlight on beer bars throughout the country in coming shows, which I think would be pretty cool. So let us know what you like. And yeah, join us next week for those quads.
Cool.
Awesome.
Well, I think that's it for us for this week. I'm going to say...
Cheers.
Cheers. Buddy.
Buddy.
Thank you for joining us in this issue of Beer Coasters. Podcast with us next week, right here on Beer Coasters.
We're all going to take a break here while we go get some Bananas Foster, and we'll be right back.